Hey everyone, before we start the show today, I want to dedicate this episode to a dear friend of mine, Eric Lindquist. He was a pivotal role in starting, my real exposure to the local venue world here in central Massachusetts and, really all over the place. He kind of gave me the confidence to reach out to venues and just to ask for things. Eric was a pivotal person at Off the Rails. He did everything. In Worcester, he pretty much helped do everything there from the ground up and get their new concert venue off the ground. And, I remember, about a year ago, a little less than a year ago, I reached out to Eric and the team over there and said, hey, we'd love to do something with you. And, Eric, open arms, was like, yeah, absolutely, come on down. Unfortunately, we lost Eric not too long ago, back in May. And this past Friday night was my first time back to Off the Rails, unfortunately, since the passing of Eric. For a lot of reasons. One, I didn't really know what to do, what to say, and all that. I didn't really felt like I belonged there once he was no longer there. But, I tucked myself into my boots and I sent Amy an email, who was the new contact over at Off the Rails, and It was like Eric had emailed me again. So Amy, thank you for that. So this episode is really a huge thank you to Eric, because without him, this episode wouldn't be happening. So to my friend Eric, we miss you, and this show is for you.
And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And alert the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine.
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
A podcast for everyone in the good old USA and all around the world.
Over there, send the word over there.
Quality booze and country music at its best.
So you're saying, can you set my country music award on fire?
The music, nice and loud.
What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly.
You can email the show at bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com. That's bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com.
Here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
All social media can be found at Boots and Whiskey Podcast. The show is great, even if you're sober. Well,
my advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Jim loves his music and his whiskey.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
You have to be a real big woman.
This is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle. Great music, great booze, and fun, even for you non-drinkers.
Y'all want to drink whiskey? I'd like a Coca-Cola in a clean glass.
Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. As always, I am Jim. I am your host. Today, as you know, we have Lanco on the show. I can't even tell you how this even happened, because I still have no freaking idea. Late last week, I shot an email off the rails and said, hey, it's been a while, would love to start working together again. And my my now good friend Amy emailed me right back and was like, yes, absolutely, we would love to have you back. We would love to do stuff together again. And she said, why don't you come out to Lenco tomorrow night and cover the show? And, you know, I'll give you, you know, you get a media pass, the whole nine yards. And I was like, cool, awesome, sounds great. We took the month of July off from going to see shows, so it was nice to get back. It was my first time in the new venue at Off the Rails, and my God, is it gorgeous. Absolutely fantastic venue. If you're local, you need to go see this venue. And even if you're not local, come on down to Worcester. You won't be disappointed. So fast forward, she said, you know, come on down. I said, cool, sounds great. I'm heading home from work on Friday and to come and get ready for the show. And my phone rings and it's Amy. And she said, hey, I just talked to Lenco's management and they want to do an interview, yada, 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 the whole nine yards. And I was like, what? Are you sure? Are they sure? Are they sure? And, you know, lo and behold, it worked. I can't thank Max, their TM, Brandon, Chandler, Jared, Trip, Eric. I've never been treated more well, with as much respect as these gentlemen treated me this past Friday, and I can't thank them enough. Absolute great hospitality by these gentlemen, and really, it was an absolute phenomenal show. I had a great time. We didn't get a ton of time with Lenco, so I'm going to just kind of give you a rundown of the night. We are going to do a review that will be coming out on Beats Beer Bonfires here in the next probably couple of weeks. We're trying to get them all out at once. But we got there early. Got to see Lenco soundcheck, and that was interesting. I haven't seen a soundcheck, you know, for a prominent band in a very, very long time. So that was cool to see. You know, I was kind of unsure of how to act or how to do anything, anything, because it had been so long. And, you know, I hadn't really been as receptive. It hadn't been as receptive for us to do something like this in a very long time. You know, everybody's busy. I get it. But, you know, Lenco was great. Was great, 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 great. For those of you that don't know who Lenco is, they have some great hits. They have a number one out there, Greatest Love Story. They have Born to Love You, What I See, Long Live Tonight. They have so many songs that you would know. You know, it was one of those things where even I was like, huh, Lenco songs. Yeah, Greatest Love Story, you know, Born to Love You, you know. Their new one, Low Class Lovers, that just came out a couple of weeks ago. Near Misses, we talk about in the episode. I just had a brain fart. They opened with the song Rival, which was, I thought, great. It was a great way to start the show. But yeah, it's a whole thing. You know, if you're a Lenco fan, there's a lot of things we talk about that I'm sure you already knew. But if you're not a Lenco fan or don't know much about Lenco, you know, this was kind of an opportunity for us to kind of get to know each other. And hopefully in the future, we'll be able to do more together. I would love to see these guys again. They were absolutely great. I know I've said it a million times, right? Lenco was fantastic. If you get the chance to go see them, I can't thank Max and the team enough, and Amy and everybody at Off the Rails. I can't thank you all enough. Thank you so much for this. I don't want to tell too much of Lenco's story because you're going to hear about it. But with that being said, you know, we're going to have our commercials as always. A big thank you to Lenco again. And, you know, really, guys, without further ado, enjoy the commercials and enjoy our conversation with Lenco. Hey, friends. So, like I keep telling and pushing, you know, my friend Marissa owns the Afterglow Boutique right here in my hometown of Blackstone, Massachusetts. She has a shop. It's at 43 Main Street in Blackstone. Her store hours can be found on her website. If you're local, go in there, support Marissa. She's the absolute catalyst to a lot of things. You know, her and I have been friends for forever. You know, we go way, way back. You can find her stuff at theafterglowboutique.com. That's theafterglowboutique.com. If you go online and purchase anything, she is offering a 20% off discount to the Boots and Whiskey podcast listeners. Promo code is Boots, B-O-O-T-S. Put that in at checkout. 20% off your entire order as long as you're a friend of this show. Go check her out again, 43 Main Street, right here in Blackstone. Go see Marissa. Tell her Jim at the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. You'll love her stuff. Great for moms, dads, girlfriends, sisters, whatever. Go check it out. You'll love it. I love it. I love her. Marissa, thank you so much. Go check out the Afterglow Boutique. Again, theafterglowboutique.com. 20% off at checkout using the promo code BOOTS. Hey, everyone. I want to tell you about our friends Hogwash and Rhinestones. The owner over there, Ray, is an absolute sweetheart. She makes the best country vintage clothing you'll ever see in the entire world. Absolutely incredible stuff, handmade, stuff that you are like, wow. She's had people like Jody Messina wear her stuff, Caroline Cruz from 102.5 here in Boston wear her stuff, Brett Young, all kinds of cool people, right? So if you go to her website, hogwashnrhinestones.com, you'll see everything. Facebook, Instagram, everywhere you can go. Go check it out, Hogwash and Rhinestones. You can email her at hogwashthreads@gmail.com. It's upcycled fashion design, wardrobe styling, closet disruption, Hogwash and Rhinestone gear. You can get everything you'd want from her right from there. Go check it out. Tell her Jim at the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you, and she'll take great care of you. All right. Well, I'm here at Lenko, so I'm going to let them, you guys know how this show works for those of you that have listened before, I'm going to let them take the reins, tell you who they are, and tell their story. So, hi guys, thanks for being on.
What's up?
Yeah. Hello.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, unfortunately, we are bad storytellers, so this isn't going to be a very long episode.
That's it. It's just us telling us. We'll bleed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well...
So how did you guys start? How does Lenko become Lenko?
Like metaphorically or no, I'm just kidding. We started years ago. We kind of met each other. We all kind of got to know each other like about 10 years ago. I met Tripp. I went to school in Cleveland, Tennessee, and met Tripp. We were like in different bands and met him at like this little college festival type thing, and he was moving to Nashville the same time I was moving. I'm from there, so I was moving back, and we started hanging out. Then Jared, Chandler, and Eric, they all went to school together.
Okay.
So met them through just some mutual songwriter friends, kind of just that whole scene, and then kind of started playing together in like 13 and like playing little shows, and then really actually starting like writing songs and trying to make it like a thing in like 2014, and then that was kind of really like the beginning, the origin story. But yeah, and now we're here.
Yeah. So what were you all in different bands prior to this?
Kind of. I'm gonna leave the microphone proximity, Jared and Eric and I went to school together, and so we all played music together there, at like clubs in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and we played at church together a lot. And so that's how we got to know each other, and then we got hooked up with Tripp and Brandon, who had played No, y'all played in different bands, too. Mm-hmm. I've never known you guys without you knowing each other, so I don't really know their origin story.
Eric and Chandler were actually in a band, and Chandler was the lead singer.
Oh, yeah.
And Eric played guitar, so...
Did I never hire you?
I don't think there was ever any money exchanged.
So how does the name Lenko come to be? Is it short for something? Is there a story behind the name?
Sometimes we'll make up a wild. There's some crazy stories you can find out there. But the truth of it.
It's actually Moldovan.
Or yeah, if you want to run with that, I'll take that. It's originally the name was Lancaster and Company. So
okay.
It was in the day of when the Zac Brown band Mumford and Sons was hot. So it's like Lancaster and Company. But yeah, I mean, you know, it kind of started like I had written a ton of songs. And honestly, I've been in band since I grew up outside Nashville. So I played music my whole life. And I've been in band since I was like literally in middle school. And so I just always kind of wrote songs and put bands together. So in my mind, honestly, originally it was kind of like Tom Payne and the Heartbreakers, Bruce Springsteen, E Street Band, like Lancaster and Company. You know, it's just a thing. But then as time evolved, I mean, you know, it was the same guys. And honestly, Lanco fits better on a t-shirt. Yeah. So we shorten it down. That's it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So from the time you guys start to, you know, I guess we got to talk about the elephant in the room with Greatest Love Story. Like, how much time goes by?
3 years.
Yeah. So we started playing, around 2013, 14. It's like when we were getting in a room and actually like jamming and playing a show here and there. And we had that song. I think that song was written in 14. And then we cut it in 15, signed a record deal around that time, and then 17 is when it became. Yeah. It was a number one big old song. So, yeah, it was
now,
a journey.
Does that shock the shit out of you guys? Like, you write the song, you're sitting on it, you're playing it, and then it gets picked up, and you can't turn on a country station without it here.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, they're kind of all your babies. They're all your children. And so you love all your songs. And you'll definitely, especially radio's tough because radio definitely favors more louder, up-tempo. And at the time, it was in the midst of kind of the bro country era. And a lot of just big was on the radio. And a lot of, tailgates, tan lines, cold beer, hot girl, which is always going to find its place in country music. But it was very, very different than anything that was on the radio at the time. And so on it, just being practical, it's like that song was on the record. And like our label made us get that song, like, or the record kind of remixed. And that song was the only song that wasn't mixed differently, because they're like, well, it'll never do, like that song will never be on the radio. It'll never do anything. It's just like one of those, a time for everyone to get a beer in the set. Like us. And ended up, you know, we could tell early on we were playing it and people just connected to it because originally, you know, it is this story. And to me, it's like, well, it's a specific story, so surely not that many people can relate to that. But what you find is in that song that the idea of like love being a journey, it's not just like a Friday night at the bar, you know, all that stuff is fun and cool. But the reality of love takes a while to develop. Sometimes it means even falling apart and getting back together and balancing each other out. Just the idea of love being a story and not just kind of a one night thing, I think resonated with a lot of people. And so, but it was cool to see that song, resonate with a lot of people and then also introduce them to the rest of our music. And
I mean, and it made you guys explode, realistically.
Oh yeah,
I was fortunate enough to see you guys play across the street when you were here with Luke. And that to me feels like years ago now. It was like 4 years ago, because my wife had actually, we just found out we were pregnant. It was Luke's birthday, my birthday. And my poor pregnant wife is walking around the center. I'm looking for beer. And I'm like, I got to go see Lanco. So I'm going to sit here.
Was the spring of 2019.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah, which what's funny is like in touring years, that was like a year ago. But in real life, it was like 3 years ago, a little over. But yeah, that was when I also learned to pronounce Worcester and not – it's not how it's spelled.
Worcester.
Yeah. Worcester. Worcester.
Yeah.
Definitely how it's spelled.
Yeah. Yeah. So now, you know, I hate to talk about it, but it's, you know, it's still on everybody's mind. What did you guys do to get through the pandemic as a band?
Had the children.
The what?
Exactly. Good answer. The blip.
Yeah, the blip. Marvel, let's go.
Don't sue me, Disney.
Yeah. Stay away from it. I mean, you know, so we, speaking of love still, I mean, like, you know, we really start rocking and, like, we start really playing shows. We get an agent in 2015, get a record deal, 16, put out a single, 17, Heaven or One, 18, Born to Love You was a platinum song, like, top 15 or whatever. We're on our second record cycle, put out a song to radio, was top 40, and everything's going great. And then, but all that to say, since like Love Story happened, we had barely been home. We were out, you know, 200 days a year, and just such an intense schedule. And when at first it wasn't a pandemic, it was like a safety protocol that we're all going to stay home for a couple weeks.
Right.
So honestly, at first it was like, oh, cool. Like we'll get to like, I could catch up on some Netflix or whatever. That 2 weeks obviously turned into 2 years. And at first I think there was an adjustment of, you know, and it's something maybe we're still adjusting to. I don't know. When you're in the system where we're Sony Records, we have big manage, all this stuff, everyone's just telling you where to go, what to do, how to be. And then when that was all not happening, it was kind of interesting because we're at home. It's like, and then, you know, then there was saying, okay, is it safe to be together? And we were having kids. But then once it felt safe to be together, you know, it was like, okay, well, let's just get together and start kind of playing music. And that time actually was cool because it was kind of like a reinvention of like, let's just like, no one's telling us to, we don't have studio time, we don't have shows, we don't have anything on our calendar, but let's actually just get together because we like playing music and hanging out. And so I think that getting through it was honestly spending time with our families and also just being friends again and writing again and playing music, awesome. All just for the fun of it and not because it's on your calendar. So, yeah, anyone else have anything to say?
Nailed it.
Yeah, I nailed it.
It was, you know, to kind of piggyback off what he's saying, man, like, I remember with the first month, I was like, all right, we got to get back out on the road. Like, we got to do something. What is it? And learning to live a life at home after being on the road 200 dates out of the year was very difficult. You know, I feel like all of us at some point had to come to peace with the terms, like, we're going to be at home for a while. Yeah. Like, this isn't just like a little thing that, you know, we're going to go back to our life. And then, you know, I still think now we're even trying to figure out how to get back into the world as a touring band. You know, because some places it's safe to go. Some places it's, you know, they're still a little cautious. And so, you know, I think it was a difficult time until we discovered that we could get together and play music again. And that was like, all right, now we're back again. We can, you know, we do it because we love it.
Now, did you guys record anything during the whole thing? Did you get together and put a bunch of songs together and, like, here we go?
We did, yeah. So, the first thing was, like, before we could even tour, we actually, like, rented a studio in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Really is just an excuse to get together and play music because there were no shows. So, it was like, well, let's just, like, let's pay to play with each other. Let's go to a studio and rent out a room and just record some music. So, we did this little project called Honky Tonk Hippies. It was just like self-released and just party music kind of. We just wanted to party, so it was like, let's go party in the studio and record it. And then we actually, the top of this year, got back in the studio with the producer of our first record, Jay Joyce, who he's produced Eric Church and Little Big Town, Zach Brown Band, Cage the Elephant, just so many incredible acts that we love. And so we got back in with him beginning of this year and recorded new music that we're now starting to roll out.
Nice. Now, touring-wise, this year, what you guys have done, what's it look like? What's it look like for the rest of the year? Are you guys going to do a major tour? Are you going to kind of wait the year out and see what happens next year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we hit this year about as hard. I mean, it really, the thing is, everything gets booked a year in advance. So even last year was still weird in places. And so it was like when you're looking at this year, we booked as much as we could. But there were still places going, you know, we don't know how many people we're going to let in a room, whatever. But this year, you know, we did a lot of festivals and a lot of that stuff and doing some, you know, smaller headlining stuff. But we plan later this year to go back in the studio and finish our record and then hit next year pretty hard with a full new album cycle.
Awesome. Now I watch, you know, the social media and all that. And now tell me if I'm wrong, but it looked like for you guys, based on what I saw and the reaction, it seemed like CMA Fest a few weeks ago was like almost like that, like, okay, we can breathe. We're back at this again. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. I mean, I think CMA Fest hadn't happened since the pandemic happened. And so that was the first time, not just for us, but for the country music community, that we could all be together. We could all see each other. It's kind of like a family reunion. And then not just us, but the fans, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of fans from around the world in one central place to see country music. That definitely felt like, all right, we're back, we're rocking, we got through it, we made it, and we're here. And that felt good for sure.
Yeah. Now, for your music, you know, you talk about how you guys write a lot of your own stuff. Do you have any other, you know, well-known writers or whatnot that have written Lanco songs that people would know?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, you know, we're definitely involved in the writing community in Nashville, which is just an incredible community. And it's like Near Misses, Shane McAnally's on that song, who he's written, I don't know, 40 number one. I mean, he's just, I don't even know where to start with him, between Casey Musgraves to Sam Hunt to...
That's actually my wife's favorite song. Brian. So when she listens to this, she's going to be...
Near Misses?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. She said it to me today. She's like, do you know this song? And I'm like, of course I do. Like,
yeah.
Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, so Shane's on that song, like, Born to Love You. Yeah. Ross Kaufman's on that song, who's written a lot of Dirk stuff and is a producer. And Ashley Gourley, who has had, you know, just countless number ones. He's just so rich.
he has his own. He's so rich that we go play basketball at his full court gym with two like NBA goals.
Yeah, his personal gymnasium. That's what literally 40 like two number ones will get you. And he's written, I mean, I don't even, all these guys don't even know where to start. And then, you know, guys like Craig Wiseman who go back to, you know, classic Tim McGraw hits. Mm-hmm. And then Jeremy Spillman is probably our one of our most frequent collaborators who he's on a lot of land. Like, he would, if there's like a sixth writer, it would be a sixth guy in the band would be Jeremy Spillman. He and he's been on every Eric Church record. He wrote Sinners Like Me and Man Who's Gonna Die Young and all kinds of songs. So yeah, we're definitely in that community. So we get to be in the room with a lot of really talented people.
Now, there's also been songs cut by other people that are your songs, correct?
Yeah.
See how I do that? I make the audience like, oh yeah. Yeah. I get good at this.
Yeah. Tripp and Chandler probably have the most cuts, and Jared. I really don't know. When I write a song, the problem is writers are like, well, if you're not going to cut it, then right. Who, it must not be good enough for, but Chandler and Tripp and Jared definitely, they get cuts. They're out there hustling.
Yeah, a buddy of ours, Adam Hambrick, cut Longer I Lay Here that Tripp and I wrote, and then Tripp, Jared, and I all wrote Big in a Small Town. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Allen cut that last year.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. And Jared, you got a couple coming out, right?
Yeah, I got a cut with Nate Smith. He's kind of doing his deal right now, and Drew Kennedy, a buddy of ours who's an artist. I don't know. I think that's all I can remember right now.
And it'd be hilarious if, like, I was waiting for Jared to just drop on us, like, yeah, I've actually got the next three Sam Hunt singles with Brian, and I'm quitting the band because I'm about to be so rich.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to talk about Sam Hunt anymore after my last couple of blogs. Everybody gets mad at me.
Okay.
Nothing against Sam. I just, you know, I have a very country music, you know.
Yeah.
But, and I like Sam. Sam's a nice enough guy. But.
He's an athletic guy.
Right.
Keep going.
Yeah, no, Sam is he's a good guy, really good basketball player. No, he's a great singer. I mean, you know, it's hard being in the industry because you do, just everyone has their thing.
Right.
They do their thing. And it's interesting to me because, like, artists, not to be whatever, like, artists don't think about it as hard
as
reviewers or fans or critics, or, and that's, you know, that's their job. Like, journalists think about stuff differently. One thing I'll say about Sam, you know, Sam Hunt is Sam Hunt. You know, it's not a charade, it is what it is. And a lot of people love it, a lot of people don't. And I'll tell you what, if people hate you, you're doing something right, because you're standing out.
Now, let me ask you, for a bunch of guys like you that live in the you know, Nashville area, and seeing the change in country music, like, what do you make of that? Do you think it will go back to what it used to be? You know, because music in general ebbs and flows, or do you think we're on a different path?
You know, we got told a story once. There's this radio program where he's literally like in his late 80s. I mean, he's one of like the legends and still out there rocking. Like, he's all, but you know, he told a story once that back in, I think it would have been like the 60s, that there were some other radio guys that they would always come down to the Opry, and he's like, they were just rude to me, and they were just mean. And I remember one time we were all in that alley behind Tootsie's and that, all those bars, and he's like, I just had a few beers, I confronted him, I said, hey, what is the deal, like, why are y'all, like, y'all are just, you know, not cool to me, or however he would phrase it, probably didn't say not cool to me, I don't know, the 60s maybe, but they're like, you don't want to know the truth, man, it's because you're not country, Like, your whole crew, y'all ain't country. Like, y'all hang out. You hang out with all those rock guys that are ruining country music. You hang out with Cash and Waylon and Merle. And those guys ain't country. Like, it's just, it's not. And so, you know, that was the thing is, like, they were. And when you listen to, like, you listen to Merle stuff, you listen to Waylon stuff, you know, they were doing things at the time were very progressive. And you know, traditionalists hated it. But they at least pushed it somewhere that it allowed it to grow a little bit. Now, I will say, believe me, I hear some stuff that I'm like, what is this? Whoa. I hate it. It sucks. And get off of country radio. But the reality is, like, as a creator, it's like, you know, my thing, as long as it's, if that's your influence, if that's where you stand, if that's where you get your music from, then you do you, I'll do me. Yeah. And I think there's, especially in today's day and age, there's just room for everybody. Like, if you don't like it, just listen to something else. Like, I understood when we all had to, like, surround ourselves around one FM dial and, like, I can only hear the music I like if the DJ plays of it. Now it's like, you can listen to whatever you want. And like I said, there's stuff, I mean, I'm not gonna name names, there's stuff I hear and I'm like, that doesn't sound like country music. Yeah. Or it doesn't, whatever. But I don't know, that's been said before. And so it's, if anything, it's people getting creative. But yeah, some stuff out there sucks. But I think I don't know.
There's always going to be people that are traditionalists, in terms of, you know, that like traditional country music, you know, even younger, 20 years old, making, you know, there are artists out there that will make traditional sounding music, country music. And so that's what's cool about the genre, is that the landscape is so vast. You can lean towards hip hop, you can lean towards rock, you can lean towards, you know, you can lean towards the traditional sound of country music. But at the end of the day, the songs are coming from the same place. Yeah.
And I'll say this too, I've noticed, like, when people can get upset because they hear, like, more pop leaning and more hip hop or whatever, trap beats. I mean, it's wild, like, hear trap beats in country music at time. But you're like, well, you know, okay, that's, they're just pulling from an influence no different than in the 70s they were starting to pull R&B, right, guitar influence and jazz, and, you know, so I get it. And then a lot of times what that does is, okay, that's cool for a second, and then that starts to open up the door where people want to hear the other side more. Right. They want to hear more traditional stuff, or they want to hear more classic stuff. And like, I love right now, like, what Tyra Childers and Zach Bryan, those guys, like, kind of the train they're leading, because to me, just anything that shakes up anything, like, anyone that does it different, anyone that, if there's suits in Nashville thinking they've got it all figured out, like, well, this is our formula, you know, you get a good looking guy and get some trap beats and get some, you know, whatever, it's like, well, how do you explain this guy that just dropped like 30 songs that sound like they recorded on an iPhone, but it's the number one song, it's number one album in country music, because it's authentic and it's real and it's coming from an honest place. So I don't know, I always like people that kind of make the whole industry keep guessing and talking. As long as you're authentic, even if I don't like it, I think that authenticity, that's what country music is built on, is real people's lives and real people's stories from an authentic place. So that's my spiel. I don't think I answered your question.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, it's perfect. You actually did. No. So I know you guys have to jump on stage soon, so, and I don't want Max to kill me. But I always say I don't have questions, and I do. Rapid fire, real quick, everybody. Seeing we are the Boots and Whiskey podcast, what are your boots of choice? If, I mean, I'm the only one, it looks like, wearing boots. But boots of choice.
I haven't put on my show clothes yet.
And what?
Whiskey of choice.
Oh, wow. Okay. Ariat boots, Russell's Reserve Wild Turkey.
Ooh. That's burnt.
It's all the same. Don't tell them that.
Chandler and I have these Thorogood boots. They're more like work boots, but they're like my flavor right now. And gotta go with the old fashioned Blantons.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm a Red Wing boot kind of guy, and I'm just straight up Jameson.
Nice.
Yep. Nothing fancy.
I like Lucchese's. I have like three or four pair of them. Luke Combs actually got us a pair that's one of my favorite pair. But and then whiskey. I don't drink a lot of whiskey because last time I did that, I about got in a fight with everybody in the band. But yeah, I'll drink scotch. I'll do scotch. I'm a Johnny Walker Red.
Nice.
Yeah, I think I'm on the Lucchese train as well when I wear boots. I don't know, broken a few of those in.
What are the boots that you wear your like day to day that are?
Oh, my idea, the zip up ones, yeah. That are, because I don't have to, I can slide them on and zip them up. Bed stew. They make pretty good boots. No, it's called Bed Stew. It's the brand. There's like work boots. Yeah, I wear work boots a lot, like especially on stage and stuff, because they're easier to. Like, I used to wear more cowboy boots and work like that kind of world, but as much as I move on stage, the toe started like, or I'd like jump on the riser and that toe would like catch the riser. I'd jump on his drum. I'd jump around a lot, jump in the crowd. And that was one thing, like even jumping in the crowd, I'm like, wearing cowboy boots, I'm like, dude, I'm gonna absolutely annihilate someone in there. Leather soles. Yeah, but I like Lucchese's. They feel great. They make me taller. and then whiskey. I don't know. I do like, I'm guilty of, I really like Irish whiskey. I like Jameson, but then in the bourbon world, like I really like Makers or, I don't know. I like a lot. Honestly, yeah, I love whiskey. I get it. Obviously, like your Pappy. Oh, God. If Jared wants to spend $1 million on a bottle and I drink it. Yeah. Anything good.
That's a problem. Jared has like a big whiskey collection, and I've tried so many that I really love and don't know the name of them.
Yeah, this whole everything should have just been directed at Jared. He literally has a whiskey collection. Chad, you want to talk about it?
We'll just have a we'll have a podcast with you and I.
My my haul this year was not as great because inflation. but no, I usually get like BTAC stuff every year, the Buffalo Trace Antique collection, like George T. Stagg, Thomas T. Handy. Eagle Rare 17.
Eagle Rares.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
I also taught Jared everything he knows about whiskey and bourbon. So.
And I taught Chandler everything he knows about whiskey.
And I love Jim Beam.
Oh, God. Well, when you know the episode is over.
When you know, you know. But yeah.
Jim Beam. It's like Bush Latte of whiskey.
Hey, they make Bakers?
I don't understand what's wrong with that.
No, there's nothing. Especially if they want to sponsor the show one day.
If you can get it in a plastic bottle, I'll take it.
Hey, little fun song fact. Speaking of Jim Beam, in Sinners Like Me, that lyric where he says, "Head on his headstone with a fifth of Jim Beam, toast to a long line of sinners like me." That line, Jeremy Spellman wrote that song, and that line was Jim Beam. And then Eric Church got a Jack Daniels endorsement right before that song came out, and they went in the studio and changed it to Jack D. So with a fifth of Jack D, toast to a long die. Yeah, sinners like me. So yeah, little whiskey and music trivia at the same time.
I love it. That's awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for taking the time. Max is ready to strangle me. So thank you again, guys. This is awesome. You're my first, you know, band that people know. So, so thanks, guys. And, well, hopefully
we didn't say anything that we get canceled over.
Not enough people listening.
Not enough people until you say something cancel worthy.
It's true. It's
then
true.
CNN will get you.
Yeah, so. They sure will.
There it is. Quick, make your socials private.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much. Have a great show tonight, and we'll see you next time.
All right,
guys, we can't forget about Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company, right? They've been with us since the beginning. They have all kinds of great stuff. You can go to their website, drsupplyco.com. Again, drsupplyco.com. They're a Canadian-based company. They have great stuff. The hat I wear all the time is Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company. Go on there, check out their stuff. They have a great shop. They have everything there. You know, if you're in the States, do allow a little bit of time to come in because it's going across, you know, international lines. You know, they have some great stuff. Mike's a great guy. There's so much. You don't even want to miss this opportunity. So go check them out. Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company. They are on our Instagram all the time. The hat I wear all the time is from them. Go check them out. Go check out Mike and company, drsupplyco.com. Now, this is probably my favorite announcement I'll probably ever make. Now, we have teamed up with BeatsBeersBonfires.com. Again, BeatsBeerBonfires.com. I keep putting an S on the beers. I don't know. Maybe it's because I want several. But they're a blog. They talk about country music. They talk about all kinds of stuff. We're going to start adding on to their website in a partnership with them, Beats Beer Bonfires. Boots and Whiskey Podcast is coming to Beats, Beer, and Bonfires as well in our own blog. Every Thursday, you're going to get a new take from me. My opinion about something in the country music world or the like. We're going to put some opinion on this show
coming up here soon. I hope you enjoy it. I'll try not to offend anybody. There might be some hot takes in there, some, you know, some language and whatnot. So, you know, viewer, viewer beware. But Beats, Beer, Bonfires, we're going to start actually this Thursday. Thursday Thoughts with the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Go check them out. We'll post it on our socials. They'll post it on theirs. We'll see you Thursday. Cheers. Well, there you have it, guys. You know, as always, Lenko, thank you. My God, that was fantastic. Absolutely loved our time together. You know, and it was one of those things, after the episode was done, you know, I give Max a little bit of crap there and there. And, you know, because he had tapped me, you know, when we were already like almost 20 minutes in. He was like, all right, come on, you know, the guy's got to get on stage and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and that's fine. I totally get it. You know, and I said to him in the elevator on the way back down to the venue, I said, you know, it's funny, you know, a while ago, somebody had said to me, you know, the more prominent the band or artist, the less time you're going to have. So if you're going to have interviews and stuff like that, you know, start to, you know, kind of condense things and whatnot. And, you know, and that's great. I loved every second of it. So, and I thought we got quite a bit of information out of those guys, even in the small amount of time we had. You know, we didn't have our full episode like normal, but that's really okay, because it was an absolute pleasure. And it was great to hear their story. And like I said, made me a fan, made me a Lenko fan for, you know, the rest of time. You know, like I said at the beginning, you know, everybody knows Greatest Love Story, especially if you're in this genre and doing this thing. And their latest song, Low Class Lovers, and one of my favorites from last year, Near Misses. That's such a cool little tune, little ditty there. I loved it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love these guys. I can't wait to see them again. And that's really it. So for those of you that have been following us on social media, I gotta send a shout out to my friends over at American Grit and Grace. We used to really plug them early on, but I think Amanda's starting to really ramp up some stuff over there at American Grit and Grace. Well, she made us a mason jar with the Boots and Whiskey Podcast logo on it, and it looks absolutely incredible. I think we're going to be working with her soon to get some rocks glasses, maybe shot glasses, you know, do something. So those will be for purchase here coming up sooner, hopefully, rather than later. So, Amanda, thank you so much. Also, somebody I didn't think at the beginning of the show that I need to is my friend Samantha. She came out last minute, took pictures of everything for me on Friday night. Samantha, I owe you the world. Thank you so much. You're absolute sweetheart. I absolutely loved getting to know you. You know, because it was our first time really getting to meet each other. She is the significant other of a friend of mine, and we just had a great time together. It was a nice to get to know, you know, somebody other than people I've known, and work closely together. So Samantha, thank you so much for that. Now, what do we got coming up? Let's see. Next week, I want to say. I'm not even sure. I don't even know what the hell date it is. Yeah, next week. Oh, damn. Next week, we have Chris Lane coming up. And then the following week, we have Kip Moore. And then we have another concert we're covering on the 19th that I don't want to tell you who it is yet. It's going to be a surprise. Hopefully, we'll hear about Morgan Wallen next week for sure. You know, as always, tomorrow will be our Whiskey Wednesday features. Thursday, I'm not sure we're going to have a Thursday Thoughts because honestly, I haven't written it yet. So if we don't get that written in time, we'll see. Flashback Friday, as always, and then the weekend, and then you know how it goes. So again, thank you to everybody. Hogwash, Afterglow, Matthew Allen Photography, Beats Beer Bonfire, Bitches and Boots, American Grit and Grace, Off the Rails Worcester, and of course, Lenko. Thank you all so much for such an incredible episode. None of it would be possible without you. So really, guys, until next time, keep the boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Cheers.